to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word this morning that is forever settled in the heavens. Come on, if you're glad for his word, let's give him praise for it. Thank you, mighty God, for your word forever settled, your immutable, unchangeable word. We praise you for your word, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. And God's doing awesome, awesome things. We're part of the greatest thing on the face of the earth today. And it's neat for them to be finding that old place of worship. And you wonder the word that went forth there and the people that entered in and came out. And the physical place is gone, just the remnant of the floor and some tile. But the memory of that, the power of that, the prayers that went forth there and the word that went forth there never will stop. The impact of that never will stop. And it's an awesome thing to be a part of something that goes all the way back to an upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This 27th Psalm is full of wonderful things. We're going to focus on this 13th verse today and take a look at David and his mindset. You're going to find it consistent with the mindset of all the champions of the Word of God. The man Job takes this principle that we'll look at today to the extreme. He has lost everything that is of value to him except his very breath and his relationship with God. And when his back is against the wall and the enemy has already thrown down the challenge and said, I'll make him curse God, he wouldn't open his mouth and curse God. He had, though, run out of a lot of hope for this present world. And he was not voicing the ideology that he would be rescued or saved or somehow restored in this world. He just said, I know that in the last day my Redeemer will stand upon this earth and that I'll see him for myself, not another, but I'll see him for myself. He said, even though the skin worms devour my flesh, in this body I'm going to see him. So his trump card is ultimately God's coming back for me and God's going to restore me and I've got a home in glory land and God's going to raise me up. Now, that's his eternal hope, and I'll tell you, the ultimate payoff in everything we do is on the other side. The ultimate victory is on the other side. Don't let your faith be dashed by what happens on this side. You may not get exactly what you want on this side, but we're all relieved to know we don't get what we deserve on this side. Praise God. Ultimately, though, I've got hope, and my hope is in the coming of the Lord, and my hope is in the restoration of my body, and my hope is in an eternity with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. But David did say, and I find it consistent among the champions of God's people, that they are a people of faith and a people of expectation. And he said it like this. He said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in this present world. He said, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. He said, I'm feeling like God's gonna deliver me right here. It is the mantra of God's people that it may be dark, but it's about to come daybreak. It may be midnight, but morning's on the way. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It is a hymn, a sacred mantra of the people of God. Things are gonna get better. Things are gonna get easier. God's gonna make a way for us. God's gonna move on our enemies. God's gonna take control over our adversaries. Now, I'm just telling you, that is the mantra of God's people. And we balance that with the understanding that Peter was divinely and angelically rescued out of jail. But James got his head cut off. And the first half of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is all the deliverances and the powerful miracles and the wonderful things that happened. And the latter part is about those that wandered the earth clothed in goatskins and sheepskins and lived in caves and dens of the earth, of whom the earth was not worthy. They were sawn asunder. And, well, in the natural, you got two different experiences there. But all the way through that tapestry of that complete experience of the people of God, you still find the people saying, I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. They might not have had the same little chorus that we have now, or we used to sing back in the ancient days here, but they probably had a chorus kind of like it, and they probably sang something like, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on the way. God has opened all. God has promised us. What did he say? What's the words of this song? That he'd open all of heaven. See, Brother Dennis knows every song. Brother Dennis and Brother Corey could open a song company. And brother, this could be that very day when God's people humble themselves and they call on Jesus and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Is anybody in the house? Does that resonate in your heart? Do you walk like that? Is that your attitude? Is that your life concept in God? Are you looking for something good? Do you aggravate people on the job because they say, I can't? You're always positive and you're always looking up and you're always telling about the good that's going to happen. Do you irritate people at school when they want to fuss about their parents and they want to fuss about the teacher and they want to fuss about the principal and they want to fuss about the test, but you're just saying life is good and God is good and I've got an expectation that something good is about to happen. People don't get around the water cooler and talk about, man, I'm just feeling victory in the air. They get around the water cooler and talk about union dues and taxes and the administration and the boss and the economy and the government. And they usually talk about the old man or the old lady and who, my kids. And around the water cooler at work, it's usually pretty negative. And that's just the nature of the flesh. But it has always been the walk and the speak of the people of God that they are positive. And that they just have this intrinsic Holy Ghost birthed expectation that something good is about to break loose. Sometimes I just get this irrational expectation that something, I got it this morning. I'm just feeling it this morning that something marvelous is cooking in the house, that something awesome's walking in the door, that something beautiful's raining down from on high. And sometimes we see four or five or six get the Holy Ghost, and sometimes we don't see much anything with our natural eye, but it doesn't diminish that expectation. Now, in a natural sense, that would probably be borderline psychotic. Well, you create your own reality, and you just kind of, I'm happy. Why? Because good things are happening. Well, there's a segment of the population in state institutions that are like that. They're just happy. And we fail miserably the psychological exam. We blow out the other end of the psychiatric exam. Because I talk to God, and God talks to me. And I believe in angels, and I believe they're here right now. And I speak in languages I don't understand. See, there's no hope for me on the psychiatric exam anyway. I might as well be one of those smileys that just, it's all wonderful. I just feel like something good. David said, I would have fainted along the way.
When Saul started throwing those javelins, when I had to live in that cave, when my whole social group was a ragtag remnants of this culture, when I didn't have anything going for me in the natural, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said that hope and that expectation has kept me alive, because in the middle of my trial, as I walked through my valley, I believe God is on my side, and I believe God is bigger than my problem, and I believe God is better than my trouble, and I believe God is working on my behalf. Does anybody believe that here today? Come on. Somebody needs to shoulder up under the load of the trouble and say, but I believe God. Somebody needs to muscle through the darkness and say, I believe God. Praise God. I would have fainted, but I have this irrational expectation that something good is just around the corner. Praise God. Marx pegged us when he said that religion is the opiate of the masses. He said, when these people get like this, I can't get a revolution going with them. I can't get them to overthrow the government. I can't get them to focus on political issues. I can't get them to get outraged with societal issues. I can't get anything out of them at all, because they're just talking about, oh, but just around the next corner, just around the next bend, things are going to get easier. Things are going to be better. God's on the way. God's got an answer. God's working on our behalf right now. Karl Marx was exactly right. It's not true of everybody that carries a Bible. But when this gets in you and on you and through you, there is no escaping the fact that God's people have a strain of victory that runs through them in the spiritual genetics of this experience. There's something powerful and positive and expectant in this new birth in the Holy Ghost. That's why right after you got the Holy Ghost, the next week or two or month or two, you woke up smiling every morning and couldn't really say why. And people on the job saw it. And people at school saw it. And people in the family saw it. And they thought strange things about you. Praise God. Because people don't think it's normal to be upbeat and happy and excited and expectant. They don't think that that's real or rational, but it's the way of God's people. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he makes a boast. The Lord is my light. Everybody say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Boy, that sounds bold, doesn't it? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should, everybody say, though a host should encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Praise God. He said, I let them come on. Bring it on. Any one of them, all of them at the same time, bring them on, because I'm ready. The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Who will I be afraid of? Of whom shall I fear? Praise God. That's his boast. He's boasting in the Lord, and that's good. And then his rationale for his boast in verse 4, 5, and 6. I know this condition exists in my life, and I know God is on my side, and I know God is moving for me, and I know I don't have to be afraid of my enemies, because one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's got an unpolluted desire. He's got a pure energy and desire to draw close to God and to serve God. And he says, the Lord, all the days of my life. No, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Everybody say, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The NIV said, I will shout with joy. I'm going to sing. Here's his rationale. His rationale is, my heart is pure before God. I have a desire to live with God forever. I am serving God. I have a covenant with God. He's telling you why he doesn't have to be afraid and why his enemies are going to fall, why his head is going to be lifted up above those of his enemies. He's got an understanding. He's not just shouting with an empty head. He's shouting based on understanding. Praise God. And then verses 7 through 12, he seeks the face of God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now hide not thy face far from me, and put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And he prays to God. He makes his boast. He tells you what his rationale for his boast is, that he actually has understanding. But all that being said, he seeks the face of God and says, now, God, I've got enemies. Out in public, he's boasting. In a place of prayer, he's boasting. But he walks off into that secret place and he says, now, God, I've got enemies. And I'm seeking you. Now, when you said, seek my face, I sought after your face. Now, don't hide your face from me. I need you, God, he's saying. I got to have you on my side now. And after all that boasting and after all of that confidence, the unvarnished truth, he says, but I want you to know, if I hadn't believed to see this power of God in the land of the living, I would have fainted along the way. I would have lost my victory. I would have lost my joy. Praise God. He said, now I'm telling you this confidentially. Out front, I'm making my boast. When it's time to pray, I'm praying with confidence. I can tick off for you all the reasons why God's going to take care of me. But he's going to tell you, if it hadn't been for this expectation in my heart, I'd have never been able to walk this. This is what keeps me alive in God. This expectation of victory is what's keeping me alive. It's what gets me through the next battle. It's what gets me through the last defeat. It's what helps me get up when I've been knocked flat on my rear. It's what helps me stay alive when I'm having the life crushed out of me. Praise God. Has anybody ever had a fight in the spirit? Anybody ever been knocked flat on your back before you even knew the fight was on? You were already way behind in points. Have to now figure out how to get up and get after it again. Anybody ever been in battle with an enemy that you couldn't get your hands on, but he was perplexing your mind and your spirit and shaking your home and fooling with your family and messing with your job and fooling with your life? Have you ever had anything like that go on? My God, I'm telling you, if he can steal your expectancy, if he can steal your understanding of the fact that God is on your side, he can steal your victory. He can steal your faith. Well, praise God. And then an admonition for those that are listening. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hang on, he said. Hold on. because God's going to come through for you. He said, just if you're listening to me, hold on. I know it may be tough right now, but hold on. Sometimes I feel bad when people are telling me all about their troubles, but my job is to tell them not, oh man, this is really bad. I mean, you come to tell me all your troubles, it's not going to do me or you any good for me to say, well, you know what? You're right. This is awful. Matter of fact, I feel awful myself now that I've heard it. And I just think we're just going to be lost. You know, I just feel like all hope is lost. That wouldn't do you any good. That's not why you come. You come with the expectation that somebody's going to say, well, I hear what you're saying, but what I want you to do is to begin to count your blessings. I want you to begin to look at what's good in your life. I want you to clear out the cobwebs and remember the promises of God. I want you to shake yourself a little bit and begin to think about the covenant that you have with an almighty God that's never lost a battle. He's never been defeated, and he's not going to start with your situation. Well, praise God. I mean, that's my job. I feel bad sometimes when you give me the litany. And it's amazing how much trouble somebody can have in one life and in one span of time. It's amazing. But I don't want to seem disconnected. And I don't want to seem like I'm not empathizing with you. I don't have any sympathy for you. But when you come, I'm going to try my best to tell you what God is able to do. It's not going to do us any good to wallow around in that mess together. I've got to give you a hand, and the only hand I can give you is listen to me. You've got to look up. You've got to begin to think about what God is able to do and come up out of that mire and come up out of that trouble. Open your mouth and say, though a host encamp about me. Begin to make your boast in the Lord. Begin to tick off the reasons why God is going to come through for you. Now, if you're falling on your face and you're falling into sin, get up, repent, make it right, get it right with God, and then begin to make your boast. And begin to enumerate the reasons, the rationale, the understanding as to why God is going to move on your behalf. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. I want everybody in the house right now to begin to talk about how great God is in your life. Come on, just open your mouth and begin to talk about God's going to take care of my situation. God's going to lay his hand on my finances. God's going to touch my home. God's going to heal my body. God's going to heal my loved one. God's going to move on my neighbor. Come on, open your mouth and begin to make your boast in the Lord. There's a place for that. You need to begin to talk about how great your God is. I've got a God that's never lost. I got a God that's never weak. I got a God that never sleeps or slumbers. He's always looking out for me. Praise God. But even in this workshop, and even as we do this right here in a simple example forum, there are some of you that cannot or will not, or you just can't muster up the expectation or the desire to open your mouth and begin to talk about it because you feel a little bit stupid. I tell you what stupid is. Stupid is going down the drain with the pressure of trouble forcing the very life out of you and not standing up to fight for what is right and good and a value in your life. You need to stand up and open your mouth when nobody else will and say, I know God is on my side. It begins. Victory begins right there. Victory begins by saying, I know there's a God. I know that he cares for me. I know that he's on my side. And all of life will be telling you something else, something contrary to that. Praise God. You need to make your boast in the Lord. You need to tick off enumerate the reasons that you know you're right with God. I've been baptized in his name. I bear the name and the blood of Jesus. I'm full of the Holy Ghost of God. I walk in the Word of God, and the Word of God has made me infallible proofs and promises. My God, I've been living for God, and I've been praying, and I've been seeking the. And I know it's not in our strength, but there is a process and there is a system that requires our cooperation. And those are the things you say. I've been there. I'm doing this. I'm living for God, and God said He would, and now God's going to. Praise God. You need to be shouting for understanding, and then you need to seek His face. And go ahead. It's not a lack of faith to tell Him. After the boast and after the enumeration of all the powerful things, it's not a lack of faith or a retreat to say, now, God, it's just me and you here now. I'm not gonna talk about these negative things out in an open forum. I'm going to get off into my prayer closet in my corner, and I'm going to tell you, God, I'm broke. And I know you got it. Deep pockets. And I know you said you want to bless me. So here I am. God, I'm sick. But I know you took stripes in your body for my healing. God, I'm whatever your situation is. I've got enemies all around me, God. But I know that you've said you're going to be my advocate and you're going to be my defender. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's not a lack of faith. That's acting on the scripture. You have not because you ask not. You need to lift up those things that you have need of unto God in faith that He's going to answer your prayer. Praise God. But the impetus for all of this is I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Shake your neighbor's hand. Look them in the eye and tell them that. I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Como se dice, yo creo para ver the blessings. Yeah. There you go. That's what I believe. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Louis, say it in French. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah, and see, it's safe because none of us would know if you were right or wrong anyway. But in any language, any culture, in any time, this is a phrase for all seasons. This is for you, man, woman, child, young person, regardless of your season of life, whether you're young or whether you're decrepit in your body and you're defeated by age, you can still open your mouth and say, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Boy, you talk about give the devil a black eye. He's doing everything he can to capsize you and destroy your faith, and out of the dust and out of the battle there comes a cry, I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You talk about frustrate the devil out of the devil. I expect good things. Somebody say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not just my neighbors, not just the good people, but shall follow me all the days of my life. And when I run into a barrier or when I bump into an obstacle, I know it won't be long till they're going to be overtaking me because goodness is following me. And when I fall, I'm going to get overtaken by goodness. And when I stumble, I'm going to get run over by mercy. My God, God has made it plain. And what a plan and what a blessing. Praise God. Clap your hands. Shout with a loud voice, goodness and mercy are on my trail. I expect good things. My God, good things are happening to me right now. Good things are waiting for me on Monday. Good things are waiting for me on Tuesday. There's something good lurking out there for me. It's that reverse paranoia thing. I have this irrational, inexplicable feeling. that people are out there conspiring to do me good. Come in the house at night when it's dark and the wind is howling. And the moon is full. And there's an old dog howling in the distance. And you're coming in the house all by yourself. But this relentless positive paranoia says, I bet there's a gift in this house somewhere for me. I bet there's a blessing in here somewhere for me. I bet. Now you do what you want to do with that, but thought is an active pursuit. Thinking is an active pursuit. Paul said, if there be any good thing, think on these. That means you can think what you want to think. That means you sit at the controls. Now, you can be a passive bystander and let traffic just run right, left, over, and under in your head. But you can take the controls, seated in the cockpit of your soul, marshaling both body and spirit, life and death being in the power of the tongue. And you have control of it all. You can think, I'm so scared I'm going to die. I'll never get up out of this mess. This is such a terrible, terrible disaster. And the more you do it, the more you do it. This is getting worse all the time. I'm going to die. Or you can shift gears and say, I'm getting better. I believe I'm getting closer to God. I'm believing the word of God. I believe God's going to do something good. God's uncorking a blessing on me right now. I believe God's going to pour out something awesome in my life. This is going to be the greatest year I've ever had. I'm going to meet new people and hear wonderful things. I'm going to be blessed abundantly, my God. I can't hardly wait. It's coming. Now, it might be cause for being institutionalized, but I have a factual basis. I do it by understanding. This is the word that spoke all creation into existence. Surely, it will move in my meager life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, there's an alternative. You can measure life by the obstacles. How's life? Oh, life is awful. Let me tell you about my enemies. Let me tell you about my mountain, my valley, my obstacles. Go, dude, how many days do you have? I want to give you the litany of all that's wrong in my life. You can do that. And you've met some folks that do that. Maybe some of you do that. Hey, come over and have coffee. Because I want to puke all over you. Tell you everything that's wrong in the world and make you as depressed as I am. You can't come over? Well, just let me talk to you on the phone then. I mean, that's like, there ought to be a law against that. I mean, there's a law against giving people diseases that you know you have. There ought to be a law against giving people negativism and murdering their faith, puking all down their collar with every old rancid, horrible, terrible thing you can think of. I think there is a law against that. I believe I read that in the law of God. You can choose an attitude and a philosophy of fatalism. Things are bad and they're going to get worse. I mean, they are, Brother Warren. You might as well just sit down and shut up, son. Oh, it's worse than you think. See, you're delusional. You're delusional. Bush is in the White House. We're losing the war in Iraq. Your football team is 0 and how many? Your wife spent all your money. Your husband won't give you any money.
I mean, we could spend here, if we wanted to, we could take all day today and next day and several days after to talk about all the things that are going wrong in all of our lives. And all we would do is tailspin down into the depth of depression. Or somebody could just stand and say, you know what? I reject that business. I'm going to talk to you about what is good and what is right and what gives strength. And I want to talk about what God is doing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I won't accept an attitude of defeat. I am a child of God, and God's promised me victory. Somebody shout, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, do you believe that or don't you? Is that the word of God or is it not? Has God prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies or hasn't he? Will he take it all in his hand or won't he? Now, if you believe that he will, my God, that's room and reason to shout. Praise God. You get on that negative bandwagon, it is a faith funeral. You get involved in that, you've just shot your faith between the eyes and it might not ever resurrect. You can't believe anything. You can't believe God. You can't believe the word of God, so you don't pray. I'll tell you right now, if you're not praying, it's because you've lost your faith in prayer. Oh, no, no, I believe in prayer. I just don't. You go to work? Yeah. Why you go to work? Because I know at the end of the week they're going to give me a check. Or I'm going to make money. You got faith for money. You got faith for the boss, man. But I'll tell you this. You're so disconnected from God, you've lost sight of your faith. Now, the problem is not that you're a reprobate or that you're rejected by God. But you're just too far from God right now. You need to, as soon as you get back into the aura of his glory, your faith will come alive again. You just need to get back together close to God and in the presence of God. Praise God. If you can believe that good things are going to happen, you'll be praying every day. Praise God. I'll tell you this, you got time for everything you believe in. You're doing everything you believe in right now. I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to challenge you. Praise God. I can't wait. I can't wait. What's so important? What are you about? I'm about to go pray. My God, when I pray, angels are going to be on the move. Archangels are going to be dispensed. They're going to be moving on my behalf. The word of God is going to start tunneling underneath the encampment of my enemy. God's hand's going to come down on those things. My God, when I pray, things begin to move. What happens when you pray? Huh? Now see, some of you think Brother Carr's off his rocker because he says, the elements obey. But he's on his rocker. Turn to your neighbor and say, when I pray, the elements obey. My God, you need to get on... Praise God. Praise God. Quick, Antoine, why did Adam and Eve hide? I know they sinned. I know they failed. I know all that. But why were they hiding? Why? Talk loud. I can't hear you. And so there's nude beaches all over the place and they're not hiding. They were ashamed, that's true. They were afraid of what? The wrath. They were afraid. They had a negative expectation. And when you have a negative expectation, you hide. I've been hurt by people. People have hurt me. So I'm not going to get to know him. I'm not going to get to know her because they'll just be like every other person that's hurt me. You have a negative expectation, so you hide. You hide from your responsibilities. You hide from the call of God. You hide from God himself. because you have a negative expectation. But if you'll turn your brain upside down, man, if you can expect good things, you'll walk right into the presence of God. Here I am, God. Look, Sutton, you got stuff all over you here. Oh, yeah. Can you take care of that? Yeah, sure. And he does that. He does it just like he does it to Zechariah. I mean, sin's not a problem. You need to get that sin in the presence of God. The reason you won't bring the sin into the presence of God, you have a negative expectation. You feel condemned. And if you were God, you'd really give it to yourself. But thank God you're not God. He's God. And he says, bring them to me. Come on into my presence. Bring your life. Bring your sin. Bring your trouble. And come with a positive expectation. Praise God. Somebody ought to shout just a little bit right now. Shout for what you know God's doing in your life right now. Shout for the miracle that's on its way right now. Shout for the blessing that's right around the next turn in your life. My God, he's going to be good to me tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I have an expectation. God's going to do something good in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Adrian, can you give us Habakkuk 3? Somebody paraphrase Romans 8, 28. For we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know that all things work together for good. What are you going through right now? Well, it doesn't matter so much what I'm going through right now. What matters is this thing I'm going through is working together with everything else for my good. Something good is about to come loose in my situation. Something good is about to erupt in my life. My God, do you believe that? Now, it helps me to know that the guy that told that or wrote that or sent that down through the ages is a guy that was in the deep a night in the day. He was betrayed by brethren. He was stoned. He was beaten several times. He was locked up for dead. He was always fasting. He was shipwrecked. He was betrayed by his brethren. He had been through some life. Now, I dare say there's some of you that could outpour story me. You got some history that would put mine to shame. You've suffered some things that I just have to take my hat off and say, you win the prize. You win the tragedy prize. You win the sympathy award. I know, but I don't think there's anybody in this house could stack up with Paul. Well, what's wrong, buddy? Well, I tried serving God and things didn't go well, so I'm going to quit. Really? Have you read any of Paul's writings? Have you been a night and a day in the deep? Have you been stoned to death with rocks several times? Have you been beaten with rods? Have you been betrayed by your brethren? But Paul said, crawling out from under a pile of rocks, Paul said, but I believe that all things work together for good. He had eminent credentials to say that. My God. We can't find Habakkuk. Check. I didn't tell you, huh? Last chapter, last three verses. Chapter 3, probably starting 18. See, this guy wants to help me, but I'm not giving him good information. Begin in verse 17. Is that good? Everybody say, the fig tree shall not blossom. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. And the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. Turn to your neighbor and say, your motor blew in your car. The dishwasher went out. The washing machine won't wig-wag no more. The dryer blew a gasket. The kids are all sick, and you just got a pink slip,
and you're not eligible for unemployment, and you don't have any benefits, and we're just about where Habakkuk is, okay? And your mother-in-law is coming to stay for 2 months. Yet, come on now, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Say, yet I will rejoice. Come on now, everybody that's got trouble right now, I want you to look your trouble eyeball to eyeball and say, yet I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because I expect something good. Because I know something good is on the way. Come on, shout it. The Lord's my strength. Look what he's doing. He's ticking off all the reasons now. He's going through the thing. He's made his boast. He's telling you now all the reasons. Say, the Lord is my strength. He'll make my feet like a deer's feet. And don't, I know deers don't have feet, and deer don't have feet, but just stay with me. Hind's feet is a mountain goat, mountain deer, sure-footed. And say, he'll make me walk on my high places. Praise God. Shout, the Lord's my strength. He'll give me sure feet and make me walk in my high places. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's gonna give me some high places. God's given me dominion in high places. God's given me authority in high places. My God, I know everything looks like it's gone wrong. I know everything is broken that can be broken, but I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Look at your neighbor, shake them a little bit and say, I got a feeling, a sneaky feeling that everything, everything is gonna be all right. Hold your hand out in front of them and tell them, he got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole wide world. My God, do you believe that about your God? What kind of God do you serve? Do you serve a little bitty God, or are you serving the God, Christ Jesus? My God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he got you and me, brother, in his hands. Come on, it's going to be all right. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. Praise God. Come on, do you feel like everything's going to be all right? Do you know everything's going to be all right? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Come on, shake him a little and tell him, I've got a God. You've got a need, but I've got a God, and my God shall supply all your needs. Come on, do you believe this? My God shall rain down blessings. My God shall rain down plenty. Praise God. Praise God. What would you do? What would you do if you had a sick friend? You couldn't get him into where Jesus was. Would you just carry him on back? Say, well, we couldn't get in. They wouldn't let me in that church because I didn't have any money. They wouldn't let me in that church because I didn't have education. They wouldn't let me in that church because I wasn't the right color or race. But if you had a positive mental attitude and an expectancy and a heart that said good things are about to happen, you would be solution-oriented. And after having seated yourself and considered the problem, you would have said, we can't get in the door, we'll tear the roof off. And you make a way, you find a way. I'm telling you, that expectancy becomes a motive force. You won't sit down until you die, but you'll get up from where you are and you'll say, man, I'll tell you what, I'll tear the roof off of this place, but I'm not going to take no for an answer, because I believe God is going to make everything all right. Praise the Lord. This altar's open right now. I'd like somebody to just begin to shout over the expectancy that's in your heart right now. I'd like somebody to begin to worship right now, because you're believing God for something good. I'd like somebody that needs a refreshing, needs a touch in the Lord, to come down to this altar right now. You're being crushed by the pressure of your day. I want you to come down to this altar right now and say, God, breathe on me again. Come on, everybody in the house, on your feet.
Be all right, be all right. Oh, yeah. I got a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, yeah.
I got a feeling. Everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, yeah.
I got a feeling. Everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, yeah.
Be all right. Somebody, get somebody by the elbow and just dance a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait.
What would you do right now if I pulled out the check and it was for $1 million? I mean, what would you do right now if I gave you a blank check and said, this is going to take care of all your troubles? My God, do you believe God is able to do that? Do you believe that God is able to take care of every difficulty, every circumstance? Come on, let's sing this a little bit more and we're going to go home. I want you to find one person right now and turn to them. And if you don't know their name, get their name. But I want you to lay hands on one another and pray for one another right now. Say, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to move on your behalf. God's going to move on your situation. Come on, pray for them. Talk in tongues. Invoke the name of Jesus. Let the word of God flow. The Holy Ghost. Come on, let that Holy Ghost flow. Speak it with authority. Praise the Lord. We want to give God thanks for 26 on the bus this morning. 18 of them were the very first time for them to be here. And that means we've got quite a number there that are out on the holidays and that aren't available this morning. So you've got a flux group there of over 40 people already that are coming. And I believe it won't be long at all here. We're going to have that bus full. Got to get another one. Praise the Lord. And that's a good problem. We want to share this wonderful thing that God has done for us. Excellent to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Are we starting the new? We have choir practice tonight at 5:15, prayer at 6 o'clock, and an apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you. You ought to meet somebody new before you leave the house this morning, and when you do, tell them, I believe God has it all in control.